I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to the Football Ramble. What a ridiculous weekend of football. Donny gets his revenge and the title race is looking tasty. It's Monday the 22nd of November. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
The Premier League is back and it came back with a bang. What a weekend of football. 36 goals, some weird, crazy, bonkers matches, just all sorts going on. And on top of all of that, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been sacked as the Manchester United boss. Jim, Pete, let's get straight to it because he's been sacked. It kind of felt inevitable. I wasn't really expecting it after this result. I thought if they've stuck with him this long, they'd maybe stick with him until the end of the season.
Give him a new contract feeling as well.
But they've pulled the trigger after what was a shambolic display against Watford, losing by 4-1.
It was. And I think actually I'm sort of not surprised it's happened now, because I think if they'd sacked him after the Liverpool result, that was almost too painful.
Yeah, I guess
because
so, yeah.
Because there's such a sort of a huge amount of affection going both ways, it almost would have been like a horrible breakup. And they was like, let's just give it one more go. As everyone said at the time, the City defeat wasn't so comprehensive that they couldn't kind of allow it.
Is that like when you like stay with your ex, even though you know you're going to break up because you've got like a big event, like a wedding or something?
Exactly.
And you're like, yeah. We'll wait till after exactly. that. Or like a week
cynical,
pass after. Or like you stay with them for Christmas and then in the new year, you're like, right, it's over.
Yeah. We've got the derby coming up. It'd be so embarrassing. If we break up before that. So it's exactly that sort of thing. And also, it's a little bit like, I mean, taking in, it's mad that it's been 3 years. This has been hanging over him the whole time. It's like, you know, when you've left an empty bottle of conditioner in the shower and like you keep coming back, is that still there? I got to get rid of that. And then you forget and it's there for ages.
And, also
and
you go to the bin. Crusty and dry around
the
edges.
And you go to, the bin and the bin, the default setting for a bathroom bin is always just overflowing. It's never empty, that thing.
Because they're weirdly tiny. but yeah, so I'm not surprised it's come now because obviously the defeat was so like, laughable almost at times, just absolutely chaotic and calamitous, and just I think it's this was the breaking point, wasn't it? There was a lot going wrong, and there was a performance like this was in the post. It's different against Liverpool because obviously they're unbelievable, as we'll come on to later. Hopefully not for very long, but yeah, it's interesting. It's been good in a way to see the, or not in a way, it's just been good full stop to see the sort of outpouring of affection from Man United fans on social media, because it does balance up a lot of the bile, that's the sort of like Ollie out stuff, and that's always going to happen in modern football. But it's been a really, really interesting kind of reaction to it from the club and from fans, because it does feel like they're all protecting their mate. And there have been times during his tenure where that's been like, you do know you're doing this to your own detriment. But
yeah, I mean, it's not really the supporters' fault, because it's hard to have your plan criticised when you haven't got a plan. It was very much like organisations that want to extract as much money and as much worth and as much value out of their product as possible, out of their IP, will employ yes men. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a yes man. He's not really, you know, he's a man who sort of goes, do you want to do some free kick drills? And go, no. I'm going to go and sit on the floor. And he goes, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow.
And then he'll be really, really spiky in press interviews. So it was like, it felt his fallback was to talk about the standards that Man United set. And it's like, you're not meeting them though, are you?
No, you're really not. And mates don't generally win coupes, unfortunately.
No.
But I will say to those Man United fans on social media who were very upset about how an ex-legend in Steve Bruce, how he was treated in the press, look, you can fix that man. You can bring him in. Brucey in. Come on.
Yeah,
until the end
that.
Of the season. Well, this is the thing, is that at the moment, Michael Carrick has been placed in temporary charge while they seek what they're saying they want an interim manager until the end of the season. So Carrick is the interim to the interim. Mm. Then the interim will come in and then they'll leave and then they'll get a permanent manager in the summer.
But just what's going to change? They're the only ones who, like, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wasn't really managing anywhere, if reports are being believed. And Carrick was doing all
to
the
me,
work, so it's going to be the same.
That seems to me as though they're almost writing off the rest of this season, when really there's still a lot of football to be played. What is there, like, I don't know, 26 games left, something like that? It just seems to me that there is still a lot to play for. It's not all sewn up who's going to finish in the top four. You could probably count the top three teams and know who they are, which we'll come on to later. But really, after that, it's almost kind of a whoever plays the best and who has the most consistent results will finish in those European places now.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's just that they've gone, no plan is better than this, because it's getting embarrassing.
I just think it's a continuation of what they've had all this season. That's what's going to be until the end of the season. You just get the feeling that they had an all right start to the season, and it was only until the Cristiano Ronaldo kind of sideshow came in, they had to move players around, and you have got a player who doesn't really do any running and he doesn't spend any time jogging backwards at all. So you do have to, you are kind of playing with 10 men, obviously, and the defence is awful. Harry Maguire is having the world's most stinking season, and you know, players just aren't playing for that manager. But you do get the... Remember like in the video game Theme Park in the 90s? Do you remember the video game Theme Park? You could build your own theme park, right?
Okay.
It's a thing like all the alpha males play.
all the big dogs in the yard. They play a theme park. And it was a precursor to the video game The Sims.
I was going to say, I know the Sims.
Yeah,
it
was
like
same
it.
Company, but right. You could build your own theme park. But if you put too many concession stands in, people would eat too much crappy food and then they'd go on the roller coaster and there'd be vomit all over your park. There is vomit all over Old Trafford at the moment because there are too many sideshows. There's Pogba, yeah. There's Solskjaer, there's Cristiano Ronaldo, there's Harry Maguire. There's too much nonsense
Steve
going on.
Bruce
and
looming.
We've drank too much Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Well,
weirdly.
I mean, what did you make of the way the sacking came about? Because that's kind of another part to this, is that after that result on Saturday afternoon, there was then the announcement that there was an emergency meeting to discuss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's dismissal. Then it then got announced the following day. So we're talking yesterday now that he had been sacked. And then a few hours later, there's this farewell video that he does with Man United TV. Just the whole way this has all happened is just, to me, encompasses what I believe ever since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was appointed 3 years ago, this sort of preferential treatment to him, which is fine because he is a club legend. That's okay. But it just all feels a little bit strange and a little bit odd because that doesn't happen when you sack a manager.
No.
And of course, he has done so much for the club as a player. But also, since he's come in, he thinks he's left the club in a better place than when he took over. And there are arguments for and against that. But the way that this all came about and the fact that he was given this opportunity to do this interview and he doesn't want to speak to any other press, I'm not sure what he thinks is going to, what the difference is. Because ultimately, you've been sacked from your job. Why? What was the purpose of this interview, do you think?
I think it was exactly as he says at the beginning of it. It's that it's really painful, this situation, because he is held in such affection there, and obviously ex-players of clubs manage their clubs and get sacked all the time, you know, it does happen, but this is a particularly big example of it. And I think, you know, I mean, he cried at the end of the interview, didn't he? He just doesn't want to rake over this. He's had 3 years of criticism. I think he just wants to put a full stop on it. The club have allowed him to do that, and it feels like a son getting preferential treatment, as you say. And I think
by the spectre at the wine tasting,
yeah,
as in Sir Alex Ferguson,
yeah,
which who needs
absolutely.
To step away.
It's yeah, I think that there is an element of that, but also, I mean, it's been a bit shambolic because even when they were having that meeting, that 5-hour meeting, apparently it was leaked that part of the idea was they were going to say that it was like, you know, that he was leaving and it wasn't that he'd been sacked. And they were going to make it look a bit more mutual. It's like, well, how do we immediately know that before the meeting's even finished? Like, what is? Who's leaked that? Like, what sort of mess is going on there? So I think the purpose of it
Steve
was just...
Bruce was spying through.
Yeah.
Is this going to be the death of another nice lads, though? You know, your Steve Bruce's, your Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, not particularly talented, but steadying a ship after a sociopath leaves the club. It just seems to be like...
It's such an odd appointment. It's hard to think of a parallel, really, isn't it? Because he was promoted so far above his experience level purely because of who he was at the club. But to then be there for 3 years is so strange. It's surprisingly inept from a club of Man United size. I get that they finished second last season, got to the Europa League final, but they were second by 12 points in a season where Chelsea and Liverpool weren't really at the races. Mm. So, you know, that papered over some cracks. But
I think for me, it's the timing of this, for me, feels slightly odd. I mean, we've already talked about the fact that there's quite a large part of the season remaining where a lot can be achieved. But why now? Why after the Watford defeat? Because there have been other times since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's been in charge that we've seen performances that have been terrible. And it, to me, seems a weird time to do it when there's actually, I don't think, personally, anyone available to actually take over and take this club forward right now.
They've got no plans, have they?
Perhaps in the summer, Maurizio Pochettino, who has been linked with the role, would be a great fit for Manchester United, but he's not going to leave PSG now.
No.
Not where they are in the Champions League with the extensive lead they've got at the top of Ligue 1. You know, he's won a cup there already since going there. The whole reason he went to PSG was to win trophies. And if he stays to the end of the season, they'll win the league. And they've got a chance of winning the Champions League, a chance. Manchester United still have a chance. I know they do, but you'd probably say PSG have a better chance. Mm. So why now? Because it almost seems to me like if they were going to sack Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at some stage during this season, maybe they should have done it a bit sooner when the likes of Antonio Conte was potentially available. But
they don't want someone who's going to ask them for resources and insist on buying their own players and stuff like that. They don't want someone who's going to argue the toss.
They've spent a lot of money under Solskjaer, haven't they? They have done that.
They have, but I mean, it's very much been, right, what serves, like Ronaldo was an opportunistic kind of signing. I just think that Conte, they fundamentally didn't want a Conte at the point in which he was available, simply because they'd been burned by Jose Mourinho being wanting his own way effectively, and clubs that are in the business of making as much money as possible, some might say asset stripping. I wouldn't, by the way, if our lawyers are listening. But they're saying they want a yes man. They want someone who's not going to cause any bother.
I think the issue here is an identity crisis, isn't it? Because Mourinho, as he does, left them in a state. So they look backwards.
He'll tell you he's still got the best win ratio since Fergie left them.
He absolutely will. And essentially, you know, what they did was they got in a nostalgic choice that actually turned out to be pretty great. It felt like a party to start with. And they've been sort of looking backwards a little bit ever since. And like, there were points in Solskjaer's interview where he said, like, he thinks some of the, that PSG game was a time where some of those players, that was the first time they felt what it felt like to play for Man United. And it's like, that's not for you to say. That's not for your experiences are different from those young players. They're living their own careers. They've got their own lives. Like your experiences are irrelevant to that. And also, like he talks about like the coming from behind thing. It's like, mate, you're not the only team that's ever conceded first and then gone on to win. That's not unique to you. And it's like, it just sounded like a fan in charge.
Yeah. Do you think that almost like
a deluded fan
when
as well?
When he first got the role and he had a couple of phenomenal results, which of course Manchester United are capable of, because when you look at the players that they've got and that they've had in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's reign there, of course they're going to be capable of pulling out some cracking results and games and performances out the bag when they fancy it. But do you think almost those, like that PSG game Jim mentions, it almost gave them a bit of false hope of what he was able to achieve? And could that happen again with Carrick? Because he's obviously got the role now. We don't know who's going to be the actual interim. But what if Carrick goes on and you know, they win in Spain tomorrow night in the Champions League, they go and beat Chelsea next week and beat Arsenal? I mean, it's not impossible.
Yeah, they might.
It seems bonkers to say that now.
Are you saying this is just going to be like give it Giggsy on an infinite loop until they've recycled through every ex-player?
Well, it seems to be just give it Bruno Fernandes, really, isn't it? Isn't it? He's the one who seems to be in charge.
God, not the weekend.
Room.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, he had a stinker, didn't he?
Really
let's actually talk a bit about that performance, because I think Watford deserve huge credit, because obviously all we're talking about here is the fact that Manchester United were a shambles, and they were. It was dreadful from them. But Watford still put in a brilliant performance. Claudio Ranieri, you could tell exactly what he wanted them to do. He wanted them to press. He wanted them to attack in numbers. Every time the ball went into the box, the players flooded the box. There was always Watford players there ready to have an opportunity. And they fully deserved the win. I thought they were excellent. And that includes what was just a bizarre moment at the start of the match where they were awarded a penalty. The penalty had to be retaken even though they scored off the rebound. They then get that penalty saved for a second time and they still have to come back into the game and they still manage a win out of it. And Man United came out the blocks in the second half, put a bit of pressure on them by scoring that by getting that goal back quite early on in the second half.
From Donny van der Beek, of all people.
Exactly. Got his revenge, finally.
Sideshow.
So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just thought Watford deserve a bit of credit because no one's really talking about them.
Well, yeah. Joshua King said that they watched videos of Liverpool playing, which is a lovely touch. Yeah. He said that Ranieri sat him down and went, look at this, just do this.
Yeah.
You'll probably win.
But like,
by the same amount of number.
Yeah, nearly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they would have done if the penalty gone in. Or certainly could have done. But yeah, they're a basket case of a team, Watford, aren't they? Their form is mad. Like, they score no goals or loads of goals. And that doesn't seem to, like, it seems to be sort of spread across their home form and their away form. But you could tell they were so emboldened by how well it was going. They got better and better as the game went on. Obviously, Harry Maguire getting sent off in quite ridiculous fashion probably helps that as well. I think the manner of it probably emboldened them a little bit as well. But they were expressing themselves. They were just on the front foot. They were absolutely loving it. Like, the point where they were 3-1 up, the stadium just absolutely bouncing, then they go and get the fourth. And it was brilliant. Yeah, they if they can find some consistency, they're going to be one of the most fun teams to watch in the league.
Yeah, certainly so. And you know, we'll come on and talk about the relegation fight a little bit later in the second part of the show, because there's a lot of other teams who picked up results this weekend, all down the bottom end of the table, and it's looking like it could be some race. But let's just touch on what happened yesterday, because Antonio Conte got his first Spurs win at home yesterday as their boss. Couple of games in charge for him now, and they had to come from behind to do it. You know, we just talked about the fact that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been sacked as Man United boss, and Man United perhaps missed out on him, whether or not he was actually interested in that job or not. But you can already see in the space of two Premier League games what a difference having a top-class manager in charge can do to a team. I thought first half Spurs looked a little bit lost. They couldn't really get into the game, but I think that was actually down to Leeds playing pretty well, considering the injuries they have. But they came back and they won the game 2-1. And I thought that second half, whatever Conte said in that dressing room, my God, he got them rocking, fired up. Absolutely, but that's what you need, isn't it?
Yeah. You need to be terrified of Antonio Conte so you win at all costs. I mean, I think that's a big part of it, right?
Yeah, his passion is infectious.
Full time. I mean, my God.
When they scored the equaliser, I thought it was telling that both Højbjerg and Conte both did the same thing. They weren't like celebrating, like buzzing, we've scored a goal. It was actually, right, come on, let's get this going again. We're going to go on and win this game. It was like, come on, rally the troops and like, we can do this type of thing. And I think that that's something that we haven't seen from Spurs yet this season. And Reguilón at the end, of course, he scored the winner in the match. I thought that his comments pre and post match were really amusing, but also telling of what Antonio Conte has done since going in there. He said it's been the worst week of his life in training. It's been that difficult.
And on the Thursday, Conte was on John Terry's Twitter. John Terry posted a picture, I don't know if we spoke about it last week, but John Terry posted a picture of him enjoying a book and a cup of tea and a couple of biscuits. And Conte replied, saying, only one biscuit, please, John. He's got rid of the tomato sauce in the Spurs canteen. He's telling John Terry, who doesn't even manage anymore, to only have one biscuit instead of two biscuits. He's just irrepressible, this man.
That's fantastic. Yeah, Reguilón's goal was brilliant. He was so switched on. Mm. And that is, I think, really indicative of someone who is completely focused, because in there, so, so quick, so, so good, really impressive. And it's annoying from our own side.
Well, this is the thing. Conte has said, my first and foremost job is to improve the players that are here. Mm. And that is something that I think we've already seen. And I think that Reguilón is going to be key to, I think, what he does, as is Emerson Royal. I think that they, I don't know, I'm just putting it out there. I think that Spurs now are one of the teams better suited to sneak into that top four.
Because it's quite tight, isn't it?
Isn't
and
it, Matt,
so it's going to go on variables. And Conte, he pushes them up a level, without a doubt.
That he has made that much of a difference. Mm. Like, even just mentality-wise, because obviously on the pitch it's not been... there's not been some miracle that's been created. They weren't excellent by any means, but already in terms of mentality, because you've got someone like him in charge, what a difference that can make.
Booed off at halftime.
Yeah.
First home game. Mad, that. I think that's absolutely mad.
That is unhelpful, isn't it? To be fair, Conte probably joined in.
Yeah. Probably leading it with a big megaphone. It's not good enough. Boo them off.
You know what? We have to point out that this weekend was so mad and there was so much going on that we're not going to have time to fit in every single Premier League game. Like, there were some amazing results. Burnley, Crystal Palace 3-3. Some games we're not even going to get the chance to touch on. But we will try and get through as many as we can in the second half. So we'll be back after this.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ollie, I know it's half time in the tie, but that's an incredible advantage. Do you feel like the job is done?
No, don't feel like the job is done, but it was a good job done.
I love that so much.
Oh, lovely. Well, was it a good job done for Ollie at Man United overall?
No. I don't think so.
He'll probably get another Premier League job, so an excellent... I mean, he wasn't Premier League level before. He probably is now, isn't he? Because by virtue of the fact that some idiot gave him a job. Yeah. So...
Oh, dear. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, guys. It's Jules, Pete and Jim here. It's time to see how we got on in Betway's 4-to-score before we get to your emails. Entry to Betway's 4-to-score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly 50 grand jackpot. And make sure your selections are all submitted before the first game. Terms and conditions for that apply, of course. Right. So the first match was actually one of the lesser entertaining games of the weekend. Ooh. Wolves-West Ham. Andy actually picked Mikel Antonio. They paid like 100 grand to fly him back over for this match. Didn't score. It was actually Raul Jimenez who scored that one. Liverpool-Arsenal was the second game. Jim enjoyed this one. You picked Mo Salah to score. You were wrong and your team lost.
Yeah.
Sad times.
Although he did score.
He did score. Sadio Mane was the first goal scorer in that one. Man City-Everton was our third match. Marcus picked Andros Townsend. The result was Raheem Sterling. And finally, Spurs against Leeds. Kate picked Harry Kane. She was probably hoping Harry would get back on the score sheet. He didn't. And I tell you what, Dan James was probably one of the best players on the pitch yesterday. He was the one who scored the opening goal. So what was that? Zero correct out of four. We'll do better next time. And we will be back for another round of 4-to-score on the preview show this Friday. Let's get to this.
If you've seen Vish in a kebab shop or Dean Smith up a tree, if your dad chinned a referee, send us an email, please. If you put Messi on a two-shirt, if you sold our tete cheese, if you've got something for us, showfootballramble.com.
Love it. Right, we've had this email from Dan Abercrombie, who actually wrote to us, Pete, about that very jingle.
Yes.
He says, whilst I dozed in bed at 6 a.m. this morning, my 2-year-old daughter was watching random YouTube cartoons beside me. I was very confused when through my sleep, I heard her watching this. Dan then put a link to a video, and it was actually the Peppa Pig game. So his daughter was obviously watching Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
And the Peppa Pig game uses the same music as your jingle.
What? I wrote that myself. I think they might have nicked it. Only helped by you guys deconstructing that jingle a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
They probably thought, oh, I could probably steal that music. Ooh, bed, can't I?
Yeah, there's music alone. I can imagine
just how confused Dan would have been.
Can't Peppa Pig afford their own composer?
No, it was Peppa Pig's game. So, right. You know, well, an indie developer, you'd imagine.
Fair enough.
Not as good as theme park.
No.
We got a message from Elliot Jones. Hello, Mr. Jones. Dear Ramblers, before Saturday, I hadn't attended a live game of football since May the 14th, 2019, when West Brom were edged out by Villa in the Championship playoff semi-final. I've been itching to see my beloved Baggies and had penciled in the Huddersfield away game in my diary as I can get a train direct from Newcastle, my closest transport hub. And my word, it was good to be back. The sights, the sounds, the Bovril, the thick Brommy accents. It was full sensory overload. As the players emerged and the away end belted out, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want," I even shed a tear. I was buzzing with giddy anticipation to see what the marvellous Albion had in store for me. We were bloody awful. We lost 1-0 and had a man sent off. Brilliant. And yet I'd do it all over again in a heartbeat. Forever yours in football, Elliot. Lovely email. Beautifully
wonderful.
Written.
Wonderful. Yeah. What it's all about.
Sums it all up.
It's what it's all about.
I mean, you forget we had like a whole season off almost. It does still feel pretty special to be in a ground.
Last live football match. I saw a linesman getting hit on the head with a football, and Southend FC have still not sent me the footage of the ball coming down and hitting the Baldy Bonts linesman on the head. So I would very much like to see that. Thank you still.
What game was it this weekend where the ref got tripped over?
That happened. I didn't see this. Brilliant.
I forgot what game it was in. Someone write in and tell us.
He got absolutely wiped out.
Yeah, he got wiped out and it was brilliant. And you just can't help but laugh.
No, it was Leeds.
They're the moments we live for. It was. It was Leeds, I think. It was Calvin Phillips.
Such a good
Calvin
defender.
Phillips, yeah, he wiped out the ref and the ref was flat on the floor. Brilliant. Right, show@footballramble.com. That's the email address. Or tweet us @footballramble. Remember, on Wednesday, Pep Talks is back. Any problems you want solving, write them in to us. Get them in. And whoever's here on Wednesday will do our best to help solve them. Right, let's get back to the football from the weekend. As we've already said, there were so many brilliant matches. Let's focus a little bit on what's happening with those top three clubs, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City, because all three of them won this weekend. Neither of them conceded a goal. They were all pretty impressive against their opponents. Do you want to touch on Arsenal against Liverpool? Liverpool beat them by 4-0. You know what? I actually thought that Arsenal, for large parts of the first half, were pretty good, and Ramsdale made some decent saves. But then
Trent just delivers, doesn't he?
He's fantastic. I think the issue was that going into halftime 1-0, I thought there is an outside chance we might nick a goal here. Absolutely. But they've got to really, really be on it, because it's going to be backs to the wall, because Liverpool are just on it. But then giving away a goal from a mistake is you're done for. It's the worst thing that could happen at the worst possible time. And
do you think that your defenders and goalkeepers just kind of, I thought his weird pass did give Liverpool a very good chance, but he still had a lot to do, and people were just sliding in. The keeper overcommitted.
He's really good though.
Oh, I know he's really good.
They're all really good. That's the thing. They're just better than you all over the pitch, aren't they? So, I mean, this is one of many shellackings Arsenal have suffered at Anfield, but it's the one I'm probably the least bothered by, to be honest. Just because it's clearly this is a team for the future from Arsenal. This Liverpool team is just brilliant. Just one of the best teams in the world. So it's going to happen. It's a shame the scoreline was so heavy, but there you go. But I think it is indicative of what you've just touched on, Jules. So that's, you know, Arsenal, Everton and Leicester beaten by an aggregate score of 10-0 by the top three. The gulf is staggering there. They're all teams that will finish in the top half and will be competing for European places. And they've just been swatted aside like relegation fodder.
Yeah, I think that, as you said, there's not much shame in Arsenal losing to Liverpool, because Liverpool are head and shoulders above majority of the teams in the league at the moment. But, I mean, you never want to lose 4-0. It did get quite spicy, though, didn't it? Between Klopp and Arteta. I enjoyed that.
I think a lot of people are saying, oh, this is the point where the game turned. I think that's a bit that's oversimplifying it a little bit, to be honest. I think, you know, it was going that way anyway. And I think it's a nice narrative, but I don't think it getting a bit shirty was what inspired Liverpool to start playing football. They were playing football.
Yeah, it was perhaps more the crowd, more than anything, because they loved it. They buzzed off it, and then they got a bit more up for it. And that's then difficult for Arsenal to play in. Yeah. What about Man City? Well, first of all, let's talk about what was better, Rodri's goal or Cancelo's assist?
I think the finish as well was very good for Cancelo's assist, I thought. Or putting up his body. He tried to do it later on in the match and absolutely whiffed it.
But that's the thing. With a finish like that, it's going to go one way or another. You either get it inch perfect like Raheem did, which was a brilliant goal, or absolutely miles off target.
You break your ankle trying to do it.
That assist, though, literally was just...
It was
lovely.
Just dreamy, wasn't it? Just absolutely brilliant. Yeah, I think the assist, actually... Because just the outside of the boot, just the absolute perfect placement of it. I think, that's my favourite.
I was on FaceTime to my dad while the game was on, and he had the game on, but he was watching. He wasn't watching it on Sky.
He wasn't watching it on Sky. Is your dad here or?
He's here.
He's here, okay. But he wasn't watching it on Sky.
No, I shouldn't have said that.
Probably, anyway, probably had a VPN for his subscription back home, yeah?
That's exactly it.
There you go.
Exactly yeah. that, Pete.
Nice.
He was watching it on about a 2 minute delay and I just went, oh, what an absolute screamer. And I said, oh, Dad, you'll see it in a minute. And literally about 2 minutes later, he went, what goal? It really made me laugh. But yeah, a couple of cracking goals. And good to see a couple of youngsters out there. Mm. We've seen a bit of Cole Palmer already this season. He started the game, but also James McAtee came on for him in the second half. And they were laughing in the commentary, weren't they? That there's just this like set of clones. Silver.
Yeah, but it's bright, isn't it? It reminds you of like Barcelona, essentially, and the way that they, before they were like, you know, imploded.
Well, yeah, apparently with McAtee, like Man United are interested in him, who was obviously, he was on the books of, let me just have a look. Oh, Man United, he was on the books of Man United.
Really? They got him out of the academy? Oh, that was sting, wasn't it?
That was sting, wasn't it? Oh. Never mind.
What about Chelsea? Because they've kept a little bit of distance, well, tiny bit of distance, 3 points clear at the top. And quite nice, really, that a couple of the former Leicester lads were the ones that kind of...
Is it nice or is it a case of the big boys just buying the competition?
I don't know. I think it's screwdriver in the guts. Gone.
Yes. Enjoy harsh reality.
Although Kante's not a player that would have felt like that because he's just too nice, surely.
Absolutely. He just had the freedom of the park, though, the way he just surged. Little lad.
Brilliant goal,
little
wasn't
cutie.
It? Brilliant.
Yeah.
And you don't see him score many. So it's nice when he does. What about Ben Chilwell? Him and Reece James. I mean, because obviously Chilwell didn't start the first few games of the season. Since he's come into the side and got a bit of confidence, you can see what a difference it makes.
Yeah.
They've both been brilliant, him and Reece James.
They've just been flying, haven't they? Like the fact that they've got the confidence to be banging in so many goals as well is really, really impressive.
Leicester are rubbish, aren't they?
They are, yeah. I mean, as good as Chelsea are, Leicester really, really seem to be falling apart a little bit, and that plays right into Tuchel's hands, obviously.
Well, they start, I don't know whether Rodgers' head's just not in it, but they seem to start matches so slowly. They cannot defend any set piece, no matter what it is. They can't defend throw-ins at the moment. They just can't buy a win.
Yeah. Seem a bit passive, don't they?
Yeah.
Which
they
has not been their strength in the
past.
Well,
they're very zonal, aren't they?
Yeah.
But they're taking that to too long a degree, I would say.
It seems strange, doesn't it? I can't quite work it out. I've been trying to work out what's been wrong with Leicester all season because they haven't been doing that well in Europe either. Can you blame it on the defensive injuries that they've had? I don't know. Like, possibly.
Is there a lot of high profile teams losing their managers and maybe Rodgers' head's turned a little bit? You know, you can imagine he'd want the position at Man United, but he certainly wouldn't take it until the end of the season.
A lot of players with some sort of indifferent form as well.
Madison,
Soyuncu, Vardy's obviously getting older. I know he's still like scored a few goals this season, but
their business over the summer wasn't great, you would say, the way that those players have panned out. And it probably looks worse because the teams around them, like Arsenal, West Ham, have been, you know, better that this season, I think it's fair to say. And even to a lesser extent, Spurs are getting clearly hitting form at a decent time. So, yeah.
So where are we? We're sort of, what are we through the season? Would you say we're about a third?
Yeah.
A bit more than that? Can't work out the maths, bloody hell. But what would you say right now, Chelsea, City, Liverpool, who has the minerals to go all the way? Who's going to do it? Who's going to win it?
We're 12 games in, aren't we? So yeah, it's a decent chunk of the season. It's so hard to call. They've all got the minerals. They all look like contenders. I wonder if Chelsea have the required grind. I think Chelsea will be able to win ugly, possibly a little bit more than Liverpool or even City will.
They've got the best form, haven't they?
Yeah.
City lost one and in recent matches, and Chelsea obviously just drew that match. So
Chelsea are the best defensively.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool of the three teams are the most likely to leak a few sort of sloppy goals. For whatever reason, I'm not really sure why that is, because Van Dijk's back now. But I think that might be the difference for Chelsea. The only thing is that you have seen on a couple of occasions that there have been times where I've not been...
We've looked a bit flat.
Yeah.
And they haven't been able to get the ball in the net.
Super wowed at times, but
then that's it.
Four goals conceded in 12 matches. Like, that's the difference, isn't it, really?
Yeah. So I cannot wait for them all to play each other, essentially. They're going to be absolute heavyweight clashes this year.
Those four goals that Chelsea have conceded, only one of them has been from open play.
Really?
Wow. Which is mad.
That's good.
How can you get 12 games into a season and have only conceded one from open play?
And it's with players like Christensen and Rudiger that, with all respect to them, because they're clearly fantastic players, but they're players who were maybe deemed not quite up to the standard before, but Tuchel was so good. Obviously, Thiago Silva coming in looks a masterstroke now as well. But he improves players. And, you know, like I say, we're still 12 games into the season, so they're probably going to get better.
Yeah. Well, if the title race is exciting between them three, I actually think at the bottom end of the table, it's so hard to call. And I didn't think I'd be saying that with Daniel Farke still as the Norwich manager. No. But now with Dean Smith there, winning at the weekend. And when you look at that bottom part of the table, Pete, with Newcastle still yet to win, they're the only team in the league yet to win. What did you make of the 3-3 draw against Brentford? I thought it was an amazing game to watch. Eddie Howe's first in charge. He wasn't there because he tested positive for COVID. So Jason Tindall was actually in the dugout.
Does it count as his first game in charge?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest.
He picked the team. Yeah. He did individual video calls with each of the players in the morning. And he
put your mum on.
Christmas Day last year.
he was on the phone to Tindall throughout the game. Tindall kept running down the tunnel to take phone calls.
He says he's on Tinder. What?
So yeah, I mean, I think, Pete, is this more of what you want to see though? Football,
Joe, crazy. I don't know why this wasn't the top of the running order.
Son Ole Gunnar
Solskjaer, because it was the most hard-working yet chaotic performance I'd say from Newcastle in about two seasons.
Joe Linton scored.
Joe Linton was fucking great. I don't know what happened. I mean, look, they may be trying to impress their new manager, but if we're going down, I'd much rather see them go down in this manner than what we had before. I mean, geez, it appears that he wants to build the team around the most itty bitty footballer in the world form wise in Jonjo Shelvey, but he had an alright game. Joe Linton played really well. Oh mate, it was fun.
I love that. Shelvey essentially just playing golf in the middle of the park and everyone reacting to it. Really,
I saw a tweet of someone who actually genuinely said build the team around Joe Linton.
What a turnaround.
That's a high wire move, isn't it?
But I think the thing that everyone criticised Carl Darlow and the Newcastle net for the first Ivan Toney's goal. I just think Ivan Toney takes that ball into his stride so quickly and so fluidly that it just didn't have time. He did not expect him to be that good, because Toney's he's a bit of a hold-up man, but he doesn't score as many goals as he probably should do. And I don't think Darlow was expecting him to take that into his stride so well. It was a beautiful take. Bergkamp-esque, and he just lashed it home. It was great stuff.
He was always going to score against his former club. It's what they do, these players, isn't it? Yeah. They sniff it out. They say, hey, I'm going back there, I'm going to score. So it was always going to happen, and he's been due a goal as well.
If he'd have stayed, he'd be playing for Aberdeen. <Not long. laughs>
When you look at the table, though, Pete, right at the bottom now, Newcastle, 6 points. With Dean Smith's Norwich side winning, beating Southampton 2-1, they're on 8 points now. Yeah. Burnley are on 9 points with their 3-3 draw against Crystal Palace. So it's super close between those three. Leeds dropping points against Spurs means they're on 11 points. They're only 2 points above the drop zone. And then you've got Watford just above them with 13 points, who, as we've spoken about already, you never know what you're going to get.
No.
So they'll be in this relegation fight as well. Probably didn't help matters for the likes of Newcastle, Norwich and Burnley trying to get out of that bottom three that Aston Villa got a victory over Brighton in Steven Gerrard's first game
Watford
in charge.
Well,
they looked much better since he's come in. Just played with a bit more passion, I think. And then obviously Brentford picking up that point as well on 13 points. How far up the table are we going with this? Who's in it?
Do you feel safe?
Brighton
17.
Brighton away. 17 points in 9.
11
points.
I'm never going to say I feel safe. But I think we'll be okay. But this is the thing, is it's going to get really exciting, isn't it? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think that, because they all, I think a few people were like, can you have a new manager bounce without the new manager there? I think we saw you did.
Yeah, I think so. I really enjoyed the match. It's for the first time I wasn't falling asleep at half time. I was just like, I want to say something. Sarah, that was really good. I really enjoyed that.
Watching with my dad?
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't watching it. Yeah, sorry. Watching it, just reading teletext as the scores came in.
Of course you were. BBC feed. It's good that, isn't it? Good that. What did you make of the few changes that Norwich made to their side? Billy Gilmore, Todd Cantwell coming back into the starting 11?
It seems very strange that they were ever out of it. I know, obviously, Daniel Farke knows more about Norwich than I do comprehensively, but they do seem like two potential game changers, and Billy Gilmore in particular, someone who's going to give you a little bit of control, which is part of Norwich's problem. Games are just, we're just running away from them. But Dean Smith is a canny operator, isn't he? And for him to get that win under his belt so quickly, really, really impressive.
Monkey right off your back, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like you don't have to worry about it.
And it's, you know, every game's a difficult game when you're in that situation. So obviously Southampton aren't exactly Chelsea, but they've got to start picking off those teams, you know, the sort of the mid-table teams and the teams around them, essentially. So, yeah, I think it's perfect. And I'm really happy for him as well. For him to just, you know...
Smudger.
Just straight back in. Yeah. Straight back into Premier League management, straight back in with a win. He's shown that he's you know, he is not like just your average run-of-the-mill, off-the-peg Premier League, like... English manager. There's a bit more to him.
He's
Gerard's having a nice time. He's having a nice time. It's just worked out really well for everyone.
I think the Villa fans loved what they saw from Steven Gerrard because he just instantly got them on side. Well, first of all, apparently he's so demanding in that dressing room. He literally said to the players, apparently, I want a clean sheet. You don't come off this pitch without a clean sheet. Mm. And they made it so difficult for Brighton. I think that Brighton weren't best set up for this game either. I think that not having that focal point in the box really sort of let us down in this game. Mopé was on the bench. He played Trossard again in the match with Modder sort of slightly behind, and it didn't quite work for us. We didn't create as much as we normally do in a game. And then when you've got Webster assisting Mings like that, I mean, what can you do? But I do think that the passion that Steven Gerrard has shown just in that one match, you can just sense that the players all want to play for him and they want to win.
Winning is my medicine, he said.
Is that what you said?
He said, winning is my medicine. Tixie licks.
Yeah. Do get your vaccine though, Steven.
Don't overdo it.
Good to see Watkins back on the score sheet. Yeah. I know he's already scored this season, but just that, I mean, it was a great strike as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's one who, where it did seem like it was going a bit too long with that goal, wasn't it? But he's a brilliant player to watch, Ollie Watkins. And that goal is, Gerrard said it in his post-match, didn't it? It's one of the most satisfying things to watch in football, to see a striker sort of cut in and score like that. But also the combination of the ball going into the corner and rolling around the back of the net before it drops back down to the ground is like, whoa, that is just aesthetically pleasing.
Not for me. But yeah.
Really? Of course.
Yeah. But for Villa fans,
Of course.
Right, that is it. We've tried to get through as much as we can from the weekend's football. And before we go, just to let you know, there is a brand new episode of Ramble Meets over on Football Ramble Presents. And it's actually something a little bit different this time. Andy gets to know one of La Liga's most beloved clubs, Celta Vigo. He speaks to players like Nolito and Joseph Aidu about their relationship to the club. And journalist Alexandra Jonsson talks about how Vigo became home. It's a cracking listen. Make sure you check it out now on Football Ramble Presents. Thanks for listening to The Ramble today, part of the Acast Creator Network. Tomorrow, Marcus is here. He's got Lars joining us in the studio tomorrow with Vish for some more United chat. I'm sure we'll get all their thoughts on what's happened with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Manchester United. Who next for them? I'm sure there'll be loads more that develops overnight as well. So make sure you join the guys then. Pete, Jim, good to see you both. See you next time.
Bye.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.